Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck. Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't want anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
We got races. We got the Guavian Death Gang, and we got Jaeger's background. That's right, folks. Welcome to Resistance Reactions. We are here to review the latest episode of Star Wars Resistance, entitled The Platform Classic. Excellent episode. I am one half of your hosting team. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me is my wingman extraordinaire, the man of a thousand alien knowledges, the great David Modders. David, how you doing?
Good, Aaron. Ready to fly and ready to talk more creatures and aliens with you, just like you alluded to there. We got more.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we've got a lot to talk about. So definitely this was an all-out classic. But first off, David, how's your week been?
Been good. As always, doing Star Wars stuff. Finished Bloodline, which was pretty cool. I've been talking about it here on the show, and in Bucket's List, if people have looked at it, Bloodline comes up, and we can talk more about that as this episode goes on, and the whole Five Sabers thing and racing and so on. And it's been good. Like I was mentioning to you, we're recording a day later just because I wanted to get up to a basketball game, and that was enjoyable with my son. And I was looking forward to recording tonight with you.
Excellent. And it's going to be great. I assume you had a great Thanksgiving as well?
Absolutely. Yep. Had a really good one.
Yep. Same here. It was a great one, and I'm doing well. I actually went to two basketball games this weekend at the local college here, and actually one of them had a surprise celebrity show up.
Who's that?
Boston Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale was at the game.
No way.
Yeah, apparently he's a local boy here, and he came home. They dedicated the basketball arena. They named the basketball arena after his family, after his dad's business. So he was down for that dedication, and it was a lot of fun.
That is cool, man.
Yeah, it was real cool. So that went that was great. A lot of fun and a great Thanksgiving with the family. And then to top it all off, we had a great episode of Resistance this week too, with the Platform Classic. And I will say this. We're going to jump in here. I will say this is going to be a great discussion. I've been looking forward to this since I watched it. So if you're ready, David, let's go ahead and jump in. That's right. We're discussing the Platform Classic, which aired on November 25th of 2018. This episode, of course, was well written by Kevin Burke and Chris Doc Wyatt. So great job by those two gentlemen on this episode. Basic recap, we have the Platform Classic, which is the biggest race of the year, happening on the Colossus, and Dozo wants to make it bigger than ever, so he invites this super racer, Marcus Speedstar, there, who we've come to find out is Jaeger's brother, who Jaeger hadn't seen in 10 years. Gets marketed as brother versus brother race, And we begin to see the conflict between Jaeger and Marcus as we find out more about his past, Jaeger's past, I should say, and his strained relationship there. We get a phenomenal race scene at the end. We get Guavian's Death Squad showing back up for the first time since The Force Awakens, and which all ends in this giant, everything winds up in this huge platform classic race. Where Jaeger is racing, we get to see the man behind the stick of his racer, which is a beautiful racer, if I do say so myself, and everything just goes hectic and crazy from there. Ultimately, the race ending with Marcus winning the race and everybody, you know, having a good day. So, David, with the initial recap done, what were your first thoughts when you saw the platform classic?
Oh, man, one of my favorite episodes. Just like you said, there's so many aspects to this episode that I love. The first one is getting the backstory on Jaeger. Like I said, I'm a broken record. I'm invested in these characters. I want to know about them. I have to tell you, when they revealed that the death of his wife and child is due to his brother, I thought, whoa. You know, we've been talking about this show being a kiddie show. Again, I don't know how much the kids picked up on this, but incredible a story. I did not see that coming at all. Just a little side note, we were mentioning about Marcus Speedstar, and he's the 3-time winner of the 5 Sabers. I thought that was really cool. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I was reading through Bloodline, and it clearly talks about the 5 Sabers. Bucket's List mentions it's the first time the 5 Sabers is mentioned, is in Claudia Gray's novel, Bloodline. And kind of a little side note, it's 2 years old, so spoiler alert, so it's really not. But there's Junior Sabers, too, and that's what Greer Sonnell, she's one of the assistants to Leia in that book, she had won the Junior Sabers. And Solo, Han Solo is associated with the 5 Sabers race and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was really cool to see the cover of the book in Bucket's List and all that, and that was really fun to see. The second note I had down was I loved this race. I don't mean liked it. I mean loved it. I loved the 3 parts of the race. I love that they have the announcer from episode 1 describing each of the 3 phases of the race. I just thought that was so cool. And also using the race to develop the story between Jaeger and his brother. Very cool. Also, I was going to just say this because I'll get back to creatures in a little bit, but I really like the humor in this episode. I don't know what it was, but there's 2 of them that really struck me. It seems silly, but I loved Kaz knocking the pit droid off.
Yes.
I just loved that. I don't know. Just he lifts his arms up. I just got a kick out of that. And then I love the very end where Kaz is talking about being friends with BB-8, and he's like, well, are we buddies, confidants, allies, pal? And I just really like BB-8 giving him the grief, giving him the business. So much to love, let alone how the ships looked. Oh, my gosh. Everything in this thing was – this is a great episode.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely was a great episode. And harping on the humor part of it, this was one of my favorite humorous scenes.
He likes us. That's a traditional Krasek greeting of friendship. My name is Niku. This is Kaz and Tam. Everyone, meet Uplock and the Astromech R4G12.
I want to hear Niku talk like that the rest of the series.
I know. I loved it. I love that. And of course, I'm going to talk more about Uplock in a little bit. You know, this show has just been, I shouldn't jinx it, but I mean, it's been so good at giving me so much material for the Creature Corner. And so I'm glad that you played that. That took me off guard when his side fins came up and stuff. Again, very creative, very fun stuff.
It really was. It was an all around fun episode. And going back to my initial thoughts, you said it best. This is one of your favorites. For me, this has been my favorite episode to date for this series. This was probably the most perfectly written episode. It had twists. It had turns. It made us laugh. It made us gasp. And they had to have the comedy in there to deal with the seriousness of the situation. I mean, there's a lot of heavy elements in this episode. The Guavian Death Gang holding Oplok. Of course, the finding out that Marcus is responsible for Jarek Yeager's family's death. I mean, it's just a lot of heavy things for a kids show, so you have to have that humor scattered through there. And these guys, Kevin Burke and Chris Doc Wyatt, did a phenomenal job writing this episode. So it was just so much fun to see, so much fun to watch. My only complaint was there was no OP Pit, but hey, you know, we can let it slide for 1 week.
I love that you said that. I just. No OP Pit, I'm our unofficial mascot. That made me sad. But I like how you said what you said a minute ago, Aaron, which is they needed the humor to offset the seriousness of this episode. And what have you and I been saying? We've said just give this some time, and as adults, they're going to give you some more heavy stuff. Now, someone might say, well, they're just throwing it out, just little bits and pieces and stuff. I'm like, again, just be patient. They've got a lot of episodes here, and I think they're moving in the right direction. I know they are.
Oh, absolutely they are. It takes time. I mean, it takes time to build some of the episode, the characters and backgrounds and the situation to really get into the meat of things. I remember when I first started watching Clone Wars and going back to season one, because I started very late in the series, and I started then, and it was really, really crazy. I sat there with season one and watched that first episode, which was first arc, which was basically Yoda versus three or four clones versus Ventress and a whole bunch of droids on Troidaria. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is okay, but it wasn't grabbing me as some of the later episodes did down the road. And it was just a slow start to the series. And they had a slow start, but they had to make up a lot of ground. These were new characters nobody knew. This was a new place that nobody had been. New situations, new villains, new background characters, new everything. In a relatively unexplored area of the Star Wars universe. So yes, they got off to a slow start, but now they're beginning their sprint, and this is right there with it, because it just is full of everything that we've anticipated this show to be.
Well, yeah, and just to kind of play off what you were saying, I was thinking about a lot of the shows that people will say that you and I hear that are on Netflix or Hulu or this. They talk about getting a season in, and then when you hit into the second season, you know the characters, they can pull some twists and turns, whether it's animated or live action or drama or whatever, and we're just a few episodes into this, and can you imagine how good this will get? You know, just like you said, like with Clone Wars and Rebels, and Rebels, you know, just giving it a little bit of time, finishing the first season, getting in the second season, and that's when stuff can really start to hit. You got to give it time to grow and breathe. Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely, and I'm glad they've done that, and I'm glad they've gotten time. Another show I think of that did this, and here's something I haven't done in a while. It's a Star Trek reference.
Oh yeah.
Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which I've heard other people say it. I've said it at the beginning with the Colossus being very similar to Deep Space Nine, how they were isolated on Deep Space Nine. There was no way for them to leave, blah, blah, blah. And the first season of that series was very actually first season and a half, honestly, was for me of Deep Space Nine was very, I don't know, I was very bored with it, which is probably why I didn't watch the latter seasons till, you know, like the last within the last 5 years, and it's a show from the 90s. So it's one of these things where it got off to that slow start, but once I watched the latter half of this, the latter five and a half seasons of the show, it now ranks as one of my top Star Trek franchises, the Deep Space Nine. Phenomenal stories told in the latter half of the series once they got their legs established, and it just took them a little while to do that. We've done this, and this is episode eight. Mm-hmm. Of the series, counting The Recruit as one episode. This is episode eight. So they've established it pretty quick and have started a sprint toward the story, which has been great. So let's go ahead and get into some of the things we liked about the story. Right off the bat, one thing I want to get into is the music in this episode. From the moment the first opening scene happens, before we get the wide shot of the Colossus and some ships flying by, and we get that peppy, upbeat music, it set a different tone than what we've had in past episodes of the show. Any of the other episodes, they all start off in their own way. They all have different tunes to it. This was a very, very up-tempo, upbeat piece of music, which set the whole tempo, because this was a very exciting episode, and made me want it. As soon as I heard those opening beeps, the beats of the music, I was like, oh, I can't wait for this. I immediately bought in because of that opening beat.
You know what that reminds me of? You were talking at the beginning there about just the Thanksgiving and holiday weekend, and I actually went back and I watched episode one and episode two. I didn't get a chance to get through episode three. And
just to clarify, I assume we're talking about Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, not The Recruit and Triple Dark. And
right. And I just want to get back to those. And I think about the upbeat, powerful music before the pod race. And just watching them all get prepared and ready, and the flags come out, and so yeah, that's the first thing I thought about. Again, when a race is coming, what kind of music is coming? And this one really seemed to fit the bill as well.
Oh, it definitely did, and it set it was a tone that was set for the whole episode, and it carried on even into all the pre-race encounters with Marcus and Jaeger. And then through the whole race, very fast, very upbeat, very suspenseful. The music sold the story just as well as all the voice actors and the animation did as well, which the voice acting was great. The animation was absolutely phenomenal, because we got a wide range of colors and locations in this. They start off on the Colossus. We see new ships as Marcus brings his ship in, which is that beautiful black and purple one. Then Jaeger's ship, oh my gosh, is absolutely stunning. And then we get different locations as they're racing. They go up, they leave the atmosphere, they go up to the edge of the atmosphere, so they're in space and coming back down. And we got the ships flaming as they're coming through the atmosphere. We got them skimming the water. I mean, everything was just absolutely gorgeous in how they colored it.
Oh, it's incredible. I the ships, like you said, just looking at Marcus's ship, that purple and black one, incredible looking. And then getting to see Jaeger's for the first time. We've been wanting to see it. It had been alluded to, I think it was Jace Ruckland who might have mentioned that he had a ship on the platform. I have to go back, but
It was Jace.
Okay, it was Jace. Just a beautiful ship that he's in. And little side note, where did I put this? I put a little side note. It's interesting, where did I put this? About the race. Toro was in the race, and so was Hype, but guess what? Neither of them won.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? I mean, we had all the aces in there. We saw We didn't see, we saw Freya, Toro, Griff Halloran had a good run in the race, which was great to see Griff. I absolutely loved seeing his, seeing him again, seeing his helmet with that TIE fighter helmet with the skull painted on it. Oh, it's awesome. Which is great, because, and if you do follow Steven Stanton, who's voicing Griff, if he ever decides to talk,
right.
Well, I love Steven Stanton, by the way. He's a phenomenal guy, but he actually, somebody's actually already given him a TIE fighter helmet painted up like Griff's, and he's posted pictures with it, and he was so excited about it. And it's sorry about that, but it was definitely a great, great to see him in action, see him in the heat of things in this race, and seeing his ship up close finally, because we know he's a former TIE fighter pilot, we know he's former Imperial, and his ship reflects that. It is literally salvaged Imperial ships. TIE fighter wings, a TIE fighter cockpit. I mean, it's just, it was gorgeous to see. I absolutely loved seeing that ship.
Well, and the reason why you heard me laughing a few minutes ago there, and I was kind of rudely interrupting you, is it was interesting in the credits they give Steven Stanton, you know, it lists his name and it says Griff Halloran. And the only thing I heard him do was kind of go like this and pull the lever to shoot him out, eject him out of his ship. And, I almost wanted to tweet at Steven Stanton and tease him about that, but yes, I like what you said. If they're going to eventually have him talk, that would be great. But I did find it kind of funny that they gave him a voice credit in there for just a oof, right? You know, yeah. You know the spot, yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was a great. Yeah. It was great, because even when he grunted, I'm like, huh, that's definitely Steve.
Right. That's him.
Yeah. You know, but here's what's funny. After hearing that grunt, and after, you know, we've seen Griff, we've seen how, you know, he's always got this angry face on in the couple scenes we've seen him in. We know he's an Imperial. He's got that big black helmet with the skull on it, all big bad guy. Wouldn't it be great if he came out sounding like Tweety Bird?
Oh, my gosh. Griff Allen's voice, you're saying?
Yeah.
I thought
Blue Cat. I did see a rebel.
Well, it's that contrast, right? You know, yeah. He's this big. He's got the name Griff. He's got the face and the gruff look. Yeah, but when you get the big, huge guy and they call him Tiny, and you got the voice that doesn't match, yes, that would be good. But I don't think they're going to do that.
I doubt that, but, you know, it would have been a good laugh if they did.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Great. Now, you know, a lot of this episode... one of the things I really loved about this episode is we focused in on Jaeger and Marcus and their relationship or lack thereof in this episode. And there's a lot we want to cover in that. And I think we'll spend the second half of the show doing that. Couple more things I want to hit before we go into that. The Guavian Death Gang, they were back in this episode for the first time. It's the only other time we've seen them is in The Force Awakens, when they board a Solo ship. And we get to see them in this episode. I will tell you, that caught me completely off guard. As people started moving out of the way, and Aunt Z's, Marcus is in there having a drink, and all these people are gathered around him because, oh, he's such a famous starfighter or star pilot, star racer. And they all buy him drinks, and they're all walking away. And as they're all clearing away, we see two Guavians walk in, big red armor with the red circle face and everything. It caught me completely. Did it catch you as much off guard as it caught me, David, when they walked into the room?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about seeing them at all, but when I did see them, I mean, they're instantly recognizable, and like we said, the color just pops off. Kind of like I was thinking about the red of Major Von Rigg and the Red and these guys, they just look great. And the voices, of course, Matthew Wood and David Acord do the voices again, just like they did in the movie. Mm-hmm. They're the sound effects guys and the, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I just thought they looked so cool. I love their blasters. In the episode guide, they show those things up a little bit more closely. I loved it. I love it because this is what you and I have talked about, story and interesting characters, and it's the intertwining. And I thought, yeah, absolutely, they're around. It's the perfect time. But yes, initially shocked, but then I'm like, no, it makes sense. They're right here in the timeline.
Oh, exactly. As it's right here in the timeline where they're supposed to be. So it worked out great. The only thing I'm glad they're in here. Yeah, one thing I was thinking about after I saw them, I'm like, man, you know, it'd be great. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, it probably would just be too much of a connection, as if they had the guy from The Force Awakens, that was leading him. I could see his face. I can't think of his name. It just left me.
I'm gonna find it right now because I have the Force Awakens visual guide right here, along with The Last Jedi. I am going to open it up as we're speaking and go to Guavian Death King. I want, because you know what? As you're talking, I want to know his name. I'm going to get it. Hold on. Where is it? Here we go. Page 52.
See if you find it before I do, because I'm on IMDb.
Okay. Here he is. Ruthless. Balateek.
Balateek. That's it. Balateek. Yes. It, you know, first I was like, it'd be great if Balateek was here. That would just be so awesome. Then the more I thought about it, I'm like, how awesome would that really be at that point? Because, you know, he's probably off doing other things. He's probably not going to be the muscle going out after 20,000 credits. I mean, he was after Solo for 50,000, knowing that the other guy, the other group, had loaned him 50,000 as well, Conjure Club. But it was great seeing these guys in there. And they come in. Apparently, Marcus had a run-in with them on Rishi. We've definitely heard that planet before. They had an issue on Rishi, and definitely, apparently, it sounds like there was some damage to one of their ships that Marcus caused, and apparently they didn't make the clean getaway they thought they did, and he owes the Guavians 20,000 credits.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Marcus is like, don't worry, you'll get your money. I'm going to run this race, blah, blah, blah. It'll be great. But they take Oplok, to basically hold him as a hostage till they get their money. Two Guavians. I mean, I just loved seeing these guys in there. They hearing them talk, I think we heard them talk a lot more in this than we did in The Force Awakens. And I'm glad you mentioned Matt Wood and David Acorn did the voices there. So the Guavians are back. So
very cool.
I wonder how much more we'll see of them, or if we'll see Conjure Club next.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how they animated them. That would be pretty cool to see Conjure Club. Yeah, Star Wars fans, as you and I know, you'll see some say, well, is it fan service, you know, or you know, it's like two different views, right, Aaron? It's, oh, there's too much fan service. But then other people say, well, no, it's not fan service. It's the intertwining of different threads. Mm-hmm. And it shows that, you know, they're following the story and stuff. And, I thought this was really cool, really fun. And if you're a young kid seeing this, even if you haven't seen The Force Awakens, you'd be like, wow, look at these guys. These are cool dudes. And then as the kids get a little bit older, mom and dad show them The Force Awakens. They're like, wait a minute, I saw those guys in Resistance first, versus vice versa for you and me.
Yep. Oh, no, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned this, because this was the direction I was going, was the crossing of all the mediums at this point. Because they're doing a great job of intertwining and interweaving all of the everything that's out there into these episodes. This one intertwines with The Force Awakens on several levels, with, of course, Kanja, with the not Kanja Club, Dwavians showing up, which was awesome, and it's just everything is just slowly starting to intertwine and make this large galaxy even larger.
Yes, and I enjoy it. I don't see it as fan service. I see it as, just as you said, the expansion of this universe. You know, it's nice to see overlap, and that's what I'm. You know, that's why I was telling you and mentioning it to the listeners over our last several episodes. Part of the reason I wanted to read the Bloodline book is because of its overlap with this. And then, of course, you know, we have the Force Awakens. I have the novelization of that sitting right up here, and so whether it's novels, the comics or the animated and the movies, I love that intertwining. Yep. And you know, some people get a little upset with it, but I think overall, I hope most people are pretty excited about it.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure they are. I hope they are. And the novel is the other part. You mentioned the races that Marcus had won in your opening, the Five Sabers, which of course is directly ties into Bloodlines, which you just finished reading, and I haven't even started. So,
well, listen, real quick note, you and I obviously on Rebels Reactions did a review of A New Dawn, and when you think about that, started the new canon. Out of all the books I've read, and I've read a lot of them, not every one of the new canon books, but a lot of them, my top ones are that clearly Lost Stars with Claudia Gray. This, you know, and then reading Bloodline by Claudia Gray. I mean, this woman is incredible. What an author. Those are two of my favorites. Lost Stars, Bloodline, Dark Disciple by Christy Golden. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, 8 episodes of The Clone Wars that were not produced. Brilliantly done. And then I would also say A New Dawn, that just like I mentioned. So Bloodline, Lost Stars, A New Dawn, and Dark Disciple are my top 4 of the new canon. You can't go wrong with those.
No, definitely. I will, since I haven't read most of those, I will take your word for that. And I'm sure a lot of our readers out there will agree with your prognosis, with your list there. If not, I'm sure they'll go on Twitter and let you know.
That's right. No, that's true. It'd be fun to talk, yes.
So definitely. One more thing we want to hit on before our first break. The race. The platform classic race. That was pretty much the whole second half of the episode. And that was absolutely incredible to see this race. I love they had Greg Proops back to voice the pretty much the announcer. It was great to hear him again. Of course, you'll remember him. He was the voice of the announcer from the pod races in episode 1. It was great to see that. It was great to see how they wrote this race. I mean, because they actually went in, they created this race from scratch. So it just wasn't just a race around the track per se. They actually had different phases to this race, which actually each one made it a little bit more dangerous. The first phase, of course, was the obstacle course, where the rings they had to fly through were actually moving and spinning, so they had to enter them at the right time to go through. Phase 2, of course, was the climb, where they just pulled up and just shot straight up as high as they could go, and there was a ring right there on the board at the edge of the atmosphere that they had to fly through, which was built with an ion pulse generator in there. So when they flew through it, the ion pulse basically acted like an EMP and basically killed everything in the ship, shut it down completely. At which point, the phase 3, the powerless plummet, begins, and they just fall back to Earth, or back toward the Colossus, as fast as they can. It's just picking up speed, going through the atmosphere at an insane speed before they go through another ring, which reactivates their ships, and then they're on the home stretch to the final ring to win the race, what were your overall thoughts on the race, David?
Well, just like I mentioned in my initial thoughts, I didn't like this race. I love this race. And back when you and I first were kind of talking about the names of the episodes, you and I did this back in October, and we talked about the names of the four episodes in November, and obviously we came up here on the Platform Classic. I was curious to see what they would do with it, and I like what you said a minute ago, you know, were they just going to, well, let's do three or four laps around, you know, the Colossus or whatever, and they don't do that. I'm telling you, you know, the creativity and kind of the edge of your seat, oh my gosh, like when they animate those ships flying through the rings rotating, it was just glorious, beautiful. And I love the climb and that, like you said, the ring that turns off the ships and then you hit the descent and that you have to get them clicked back on. I love Niku, you know, covering his eyes and him explaining it. But to hear, like you said, Greg Proops back as announcer guy, to hear him explain each of the phases, I like that. To hear his voice even more, I just really like his voice. And that's why, you know, going back to the Phantom Menace this past holiday weekend, I really enjoyed hearing more of his voice. It doesn't sound like it's changed much at all, and it's been a lot of years, you know, since he voiced that. I guess he probably would have done it, what, in 1998 for the movie to come out in 99? So you're looking at 20 years since he did that voice. But I absolutely love this race, and it wasn't cheesy. It wasn't little simple stuff, and it was dangerous flying. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, with initial thoughts, it was neat how they interspliced Yeager and his brother talking to each other. I loved it. I mean, just excellent.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It was excellent in all sense of the words, from the animation to the interaction between Yeager and Marcus, his brother, and of course seeing the other aces as well, because like I said earlier, this was huge for a huge moment for Griff Halloran, because he was right in the thick of things there. It was Yeager 1, Marcus 2, Halloran 3, and we get to see him right in the thick of things in this race, which is very enjoyable. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed seeing this. And after the powerless plummet, and they get their the power back, that home stretch, they're basically just skimming the water back toward the Colossus.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was gorgeous. To me, that was so The Force Awakens. I even said it on Twitter. That scene where it just, that clip where it just shows the ships skimming the waterline, Yeager in the center, you got Marcus on one side, and a couple of the other aces right there with them, just skimming the water, and you can see them flying, and the water just kind of going to the sides there, just skimming it. To me, that was so The Force Awakens, when the Resistance show up on Takodana and begin that fight with the First Order right there at Maz's castle. It was, to me, it was very reminiscent of that scene, and it made me feel good. There's no way to say it. This whole race just made me feel good.
Oh yeah, I saw you tweet that out, and it's kind of wild how, you know, it's why it's fun to talk to other Star Wars fans, you know, and they pick up on certain stuff. And when I saw that tweet, I'm like, oh my God, of course, you know. And, you know, again, you know, we talk about going back and watching, you know, the movies multiple times, you know, watching, you know, different episodes of the Clone Wars or Rebels multiple times, and now this series, and just the little things you pick up on. And when you said that, I was like, of course, you know, and I hit like and retweeted it. Yeah, that's it.
No, it's exactly it. And I mean, this is during this race is where you got your funny scene where when Yeager overtakes Marcus and for the lead for the first time in the race, Cass celebrates and accidentally knocks the pit droid off the ledge there, and you hear the droid, yeah,
love that.
Perfect.
Side note: I had to watch this a couple times, but when the ships go down underneath the platform, you very quickly see a little clip from the back of one of the turtles, our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if people picked up on it, and you see the hand move real slowly and point towards, you know, the ships flying by. So I thought that was really well, the Chilidae, right? That's the turtles. And so, yes, a little sighting, a little creature sighting down below the Colossus. That's, of course, that's where they live down there.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and check that. I didn't catch that when I watched that earlier. I did like how after he knocked the after Kaz knocked the pit droid off, the scene cut to a different point of view and you see the pit droid fall. Exactly. I didn't enjoy that. You see that continuous fall, but yeah, this race was just perfect in all regards. And in order to keep talking about this, we have to get into Jaeger's backstory and his relationship with his brother. But before we do that, we are going to take a break, and then we'll be right back to discuss Jaeger and Marcus and your emails as well. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Aaron, and I'm here with my wingman, David, as we continue to discuss the Platform Classic.
I can't believe it.
Neither can I, Niku. This has been a great episode, as we've been discussing. A lot of great things in this. But we have to spend time discussing what matters at this point, and which was the meat of this episode, which is Jaeger's backstory and how it ties in with his relationship with his brother, Marcus. I just blanked on his name. Speedstar. Marcus Speedstar. Yeah. Jeez, there's another Carabas moment for us. But yeah, Marcus Speedstar. I mean, we open up seeing Marcus for the first time in Doza's office when Doza calls him up, tells him he wants to make this Platform Classic the best ever by, of course, bringing in all-star racers. And Jaeger's like, no, I'm not racing. And he goes, no, you'll race, especially against a legend. And all of a sudden, out comes Speedstar. And of course, Kaz is impressed, and Niku's impressed, and Tam is like gasping for air, oxygen. They're just besides themselves because this is the biggest racer in the galaxy, one of the greatest racers in the galaxy, they discuss. And that's when they find out that Jaeger knows him. Not only Jaeger knows him, it's his brother. And of course they have a very storied relationship. We find out they hadn't spoken in 10 years. Of course we find out more of Jaeger's backstory from Kaz discussing with Marcus after Jaeger passes him off, after Jaeger, which was another priceless scene where Jaeger passes Kaz off to Marcus to, as a one of his best mechanics.
I did. I liked it. That was funny how he did it. And Tam's like, what? Well, I didn't tell him what he's best at, you know, which is messing up and wrecking ships. You know?
Exactly. it doesn't take Marcus long to figure out that, you know, Kaz isn't the best mechanic. But they begin the conversation where they find out that, you know, after the rebellion was over and the Republic was started up and everything was, the war was over, the military Republic cut back their military. So of course Jaeger and Marcus went into racing for a living. But as they explained, they went into racing for two very different reasons. Marcus wanted the fame. He wanted the money. He wanted the recognition. Whereas Jaeger was racing for his family. He was racing to give his family a good life, to provide for his family, which is what, you know, that, it's what we all want. I mean, I know that's all we do day in and day out is do the best we can to provide for our family. And that's what why Jaeger was racing. Then we find out there was, Marcus is like, you know, I was so desperate to win because I could never beat Jaeger. I was so desperate to win that he used hyperfuel to soup up his speeder on one race. And of course, we know what happens with hyperfuel and how unstable that is from the episode with Jace Ruckland, as his fighter went boom very quickly. And Marcus, of course, explains, you know, I messed up, you know, I wasn't ready for the type of speed that it gave. I wasn't ready. I lost control. We collided. There was a crash. And that's pretty much where he left it. Then we find out during the race, it was that because of that crash killed people in the crowd watching, including Jaeger's wife and daughter. And Jaeger has never been able to forgive Marcus. I will be perfectly honest. When it came out that Marcus was responsible for Jaeger's wife and daughter's death, I audibly gasped. I did not see that coming. I did not want to see that coming. Even after I heard it, I was like, I can't believe I'm hearing this. What were your thoughts, David?
Absolutely same as yours. I was like, are you serious? I mean, it is a jaw dropper because, again, you know, you've said it throughout Rebels. There's no filler episodes. That's, you know, I know that this show is 6 to 12 year olds, but when they did this, I was like, wow. I mean, you and I talked in a previous episode about genocide. I mean, that's already been hinted at in this show, and now, right, the killing of an entire people group. Right, we talked about that in the episode Children of Tehar.
Yeah.
And I was, what I was expecting here, Aaron, was Jaeger's upset with his brother Marcus because, you know, not only because of wanting to get this fame and fortune and not be someone of depth, but, you know, just a surface level kind of person. But I thought for sure it was going to be, you know, you stole a lot of money from me. You wrecked one of my ships. You did stuff without permission, you know, stuff like that to really, you know, get between, you know, some siblings from between brothers. But when they said, you know, they explained it out. His wing got clipped, and, you know, hyperfuel from a previous episode brought that up, and that it, you know, it killed people in the crowd, and including, you know, Marcus or Jaeger's a wife and child. I was like, oh, they went there, and I was like, wow, and so, you know, I was so impressed that they did that. They didn't set on it long, just like with Children of Tehar. They, you know, Captain Phasma makes her statement to Commander Pyre, and again, I don't think kids are going to pick up on that too much, but you and I, like I said, you and I did. I know the other adult viewers of Resistance picked up on that, and I'd be curious to see what other people who watch Resistance, you know, tweet into us or just tweet themselves. Just I'm trying to, you know, look around and see what people think about this. But very impressed that they went there. And yes, very shocked, just like you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's still a shocking moment because, like I said earlier in the episode, this was a very heavy episode, and this added so much weight and depth to Jaeger's background. It helps us understand Jaeger because it fleshes him out. We now understand why he does what he does. I mean, before we found all this out, you know, there was an agreement that Jaeger and Marcus would never race against each other again. And here, and things work just kind of happened where they wound up racing against each other in this episode. And I loved how Tam and Kaz and Niku and them, they kind of tricked Jaeger into making the challenge. They're like, you know, he's the best pilot around. Yeah, you guys really. And Jaeger's like, you guys really don't know anything. And Tam's like, well, you know, if you're not racing him, we have to assume he's the greatest pilot around. That's all we have to go by. So.
I love that interplay.
Oh yeah, it was, they were just kind of, you know, poking at him till he finally was like, you know what, I'm gonna go challenge him and you're gonna watch, he's gonna back down. And then they wind up in Aunt Z's and he challenges him, and unfortunately at this point the Guavian death game have Oplock, and he has no choice but to race because he needs the money. And he races. Then, of course, then in classic Kaz fashion, Jaeger's like, no, 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 we're not going to race then. This isn't going to happen. We can't race. I'm not going to race. And, of course, you see Kaz kind of just pop into the picture with a big grin on his face, his finger up in the air. He goes, well, you know the rule. When you agree to a race, you can't back out.
Exactly. And that happened to him, right? Earlier in was that in the first episode?
In the recruit, yeah. It happened to him. He tried to back out of the race against Tora. It was nice to see some of that come in, and there was a lot of humor in that in these scenes because of that. And I just saw the scene where you saw the Ninja Turtles. They're right there.
Isn't that quick?
It was very quick. What's funny too is that's also the scene you see the pit droid falling, and he's pointing at the pit droid falling into the water.
Exactly.
So I was so focused on the pit droid I didn't notice the turtle.
The first time I watched it, I'm watching the ships. The second time I'm looking at the pit droid. The third time I'm like, wait a minute. there's one of our TMNTs. You know.
Yep. Yep. Back to look, a little sidetrack there. Sorry about that. But back to the race there, and to Jaeger and Marcus. And the whole time they're discussing while they're racing, and Marcus is trying to get him to understand because he tried to talk to him before the race, and Jaeger wants nothing to do with them. And he keeps telling him, no, you wasted your time. We're not talking. No, I don't want to see you. I want nothing to do with you. Go prepare for your race. And it happens a couple times in this. And Jaeger just feels he's just, you know, being the same little kid he was before when he caused his wife and child's death. And the whole time through this race, they're talking, he's like, you know, I need this race. He's like, no, you always say that. No, I really need to win this race. I'm not the person I used to be. I have changed. I have people I care about, the people that depend on me and are in danger, just like you when you raced. And they're going back and forth. And it was right there at the end when he made that. He goes, I have people that depend on me, like you did. And he makes him understand. He's like, you know, I loved them. It hurt me when they were gone. It hurt me. I lost my family too. Not just you. I lost my family too. They were my family as well. And that whole thing and dealing with that loss and everything. And at the end, he's like, at the end, as they're approaching the finish line, Marcus is like, you know what, brother? You deserve this race. You deserve it. You deserve to win. You deserve it. And at that point, it clicks with Jaeger at that point. This is not the same person I knew. And he's like, no, you need it. And he pulls off and lets Marcus win for the first time ever. Which was incredible. But I think what really got me was after the race was over. He's paid off the Guavian Death Gang. He's got Oplok back. We're back in Jaeger's hangar. He says his goodbye. Marcus says his goodbye to Kaz and Tam and everybody, and he walks up to Jaeger and puts his hand out for a handshake, and Jaeger pulls him in for a hug, and he's like, you know, are we good? And this, again, another twist that caught me completely off guard. Jaeger looks at him and says, no, but we will be. And you can't write a more truer situation. People forgive, but they don't forget. And we're starting, and it takes time for people to forgive and move past. It's one thing to say you forgive somebody. It's another thing to move past it, where you can actually have a working, and you're a doctor. You know this stuff, David. This is more of your wheelhouse than mine. But that, to me, that was the most realistic scene in this episode, and I would say probably one of the most realistic scenes, true to real life, in Star Wars period, in one of the in the saga period. What were your thoughts on his on that closing scene with Marcus and Jaeger?
Oh, it's just so well done. In fact, I would say this again for every comment about this show being kiddie. Here, this show covers perhaps the most difficult issue that humans would ever face, which is, it's one thing, we talk about MADD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, DADD, Dads Against Drunk Driving. When someone, makes a mistake, kills your loved ones. In this case, it's a different scenario. This isn't a stranger accidentally killing Yeager's wife and child. It's his own brother, a family member. And there's doing something on purpose, doing something by accident, but there's a shortcut here. And this was going to be part of my final thoughts, which is on the issue of forgiveness on the issue of shortcuts. And, almost inevitably, if we take a shortcut athletically or academically, it doesn't work. Or if we take shortcuts in our marriages, it doesn't work. Or if I take shortcuts at my job, it doesn't work. It catches up to you. And a constant theme that I've been talking about with this series is the lessons, the morality lessons that this show is trying to teach young people. And you and I have talked about this in Rebels, I believe, but the topic of forgiveness, again, from a psychologist's point of view, from my work in the office, it's exactly what you said, Aaron. I talk to my clients about forgiveness, not forgetting, but just how difficult is it to forgive somebody if they've killed your loved one, in this case, two of your loved ones, whether it's an accident or on purpose. And one of the things I was going to mention about this, because you and I've talked about, putting some psychology in some of these episodes and helping our listeners to understand this. My wife is she watches Dateline, 2020, cold case files, forensic files. And I'm always saying to my wife, oh my gosh, why do you watch this? It's so depressing. By the end of it, it's the husband killed the wife killed the husband, the kids don't believe dad, the kids don't believe mom, one parent's dead, one's in jail, and it's just, oh my gosh. But to pull this in, and again, to think about the area that resistance is covering, I saw the end of one of these episodes that my wife was watching. It showed a husband and wife. I think it was up in Portland, Oregon. Their daughter was killed by some guy. And husband and wife are standing there in the courtroom. It's their chance to speak. And the guy speaks. His wife is just in tears. They both look like they're late 50s, early 60s. And he says, look, as a human, I don't want to forgive you. You have killed my loved one. You killed my daughter. But because of my faith and belief in God, right, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish, if you believe there's something, he says, only through God can I do this. I can't do it in my humanness. And so when I see Yeager say, like, you'd mention it, no, we're not good right now, but in time we will be. I'm just so impressed that he says that. And it is a process. And I do like I love what you said. Not only, forgive but not forget, but it doesn't happen instantly. Even though you forgive, there's a working through process, and Yeager wants to do it. And I'm so glad to see him do that, but it is so difficult to do this. I talk to a lot of my clients about what happens if you don't forgive. What ends up happening is you're trapped in a cell of anger. That's the way I always describe it. And then the rest of your life is kind of destroyed yourself. One other quick thing, I saw this woman who, her daughter was also killed. Again, my wife's got these shows on. I'm like, oh my gosh. But maybe it was good that I saw him. But the woman, she said to the guy who'd killed her daughter, she says, look, I'm forgiving you so that I don't have the rest of my life destroyed. And I thought that was so good for her to say. So I wanted to point that out to people who listen, that forgiveness is very difficult. Ultimately, if you do it, you don't have to forget, but you can end up improving the quality of your life over time. And So, man, I'm so impressed that Star Wars Resistance is covering, like I said, one of the most difficult issues anybody on this planet will face, which is forgiveness of someone who has killed a loved one. And in this case, your loved one who killed two of your loved ones. Major props to Star Wars Resistance.
Oh, major props indeed. It's just they did it so wonderfully. And I can't say it any better than you. You said it perfectly. And, yeah. You know, after that big, heavy, deep moment, they do what this show does best, is they lighten the mood again to end the show. So it doesn't end on that deep, brooding moment that's got you thinking. They end it with Jaeger. After they leave, Jaeger and Kaz talk for a second, and Jaeger says something very insightful. Let's listen.
And here's something I don't often say. You were right. It's important to forgive people. When you don't, nobody wins.
Did I say that?
Not in so many words.
It's exactly what you just said. Nobody wins if nobody forgives. And to lighten the mood after that, Jaeger walks off, and Kaz is standing there and goes, BB-8? And you alluded to this earlier, BB-8? I think Jaeger and I are friends. Well, he goes, well, maybe not friends like us. And you see BB-8 just kind of rolling away, shaking his dome as he's walking away, as he's rolling away. And I'm sitting there, it was the perfect way to end the episode. To lighten the mood, get you laughing again. But it left us with that lesson, again, that of forgiveness, which is something we need a lot of nowadays. So, well done to the cast and crew of Star Wars Resistance on this episode. Kudos to Kevin Burke and Chris Doc Wyatt on writing this episode. They did a tremendous job getting this point across, and I love it. So let's go ahead and go into it. David, what are your final thoughts on the platform classic?
Absolutely. You know, we just got done covering it. The main point was I love the lessons to be learned here, and I hope kids really pick up on it. The importance of forgiveness. You know, when we don't forgive, nobody wins. And also the issue of shortcuts. You know, Marcus really describes that during the race. I hope kids pick up on that. You know, if you want to cheat, if you want to plagiarize, if you want to cut corners at your work site or in your academic work, or if you think you can kind of cut corners and still do well athletically, it's not gonna work. It ultimately won't work. The other thing that I was thinking about with the seriousness, the morals of it, you know, thinking about all the Star Wars movies, is you and I have heard Star Wars fans talk about, you know, does this movie, you know, feel like Star Wars? Does this cartoon, does this comic book feel like Star Wars? Does this novel feel like Star Wars? Or they say, is it Star Wars-y? This episode feels like Star Wars again, like, you know, the humor, like you said, just, you know, BB-8 at the end there doing. I'm thinking about R2-D2 and C-3PO bringing comic relief, you know, with their beeps and their talking and stuff like that, and then here's BB-8 doing it at the very end of the episode. I love that feels like Star Wars to me. You know, he does the you know, in The Force Awakens, he puts the lighter out and does the thumbs up to Finn. And it's right there in the main area of the Millennium Falcon. I'm like, here's Star Wars. Here it is. And so this episode, I wanted to emphasize that really felt like Star Wars. And then, of course, I love the creatures in this. And then we'll get to the creature corner in a minute. But that was my third point. I also love the creatures that they show in this. And they kind of show some that they haven't told us what they are yet. So I'm super excited about this show, and so those are three points: the moral lessons. It really felt like Star Wars, and it was good to see a lot of the new creatures too.
I definitely agree with everything you just said. you know, this was an episode that, like I said at the beginning, this is my favorite episode they've done so far. It was fun. It made me laugh, made me gasp, made me feel good. It was just a lot of fun. The race was phenomenal. Finding out more about Jaeger's background, which is something we've been clamoring for, was awesome. Finding out that it was such a heartbreaking backstory was not cool, but it just added more depth to the character and really fleshed him out in a way that I did not anticipate it going. Well done. Everything about this episode just fired on all cylinders for me. It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was great. To me, it was just that there's nothing better than this so far. And I loved it. I love seeing Jaeger's racer, which was beautiful. It looked like it had some X-Wing vibes to it, a whole combination of stuff. It was beautiful. I can't say enough about this episode. We've been talking about for over an hour about this episode so far, and I just keep going. There's just so much in it. But definitely, to me, this was the best. The writing was the best we've had to date. The animation was spectacular. The race animation was deserving of an award. And the voice acting was incredible as well. So kudos to everybody involved in this. This was as close to perfect as they could have done, in my opinion. It truly was. Which is why when we go into grading it, as everybody knows, we do grade each episode on a scale, just like if you were in school, A being the best, A, B, C, D, and F. I'm giving this one a solid A. For me, this was that good. It was well deserving of an A, a very high A, not quite A plus status yet, but this was a very high A. This was as close to A plus as you can get. David, what are your thoughts on a grade for the Platform Classic?
Exactly. I had a solid A. I wrote down because of covering Forgiveness, the issue of Shortcuts, the race was incredible, the backstory on Jaeger. And in my mind, just like you said, I thought, what would do an A+? And again, you and I have talked many times about Twilight of the Apprentice, season 2 of the Rebels animated series, is something along the lines of an incredible battle above the Colossus or out in space between the aces, you know, bringing all them in, you know, Freya Fenris, Bo Keevil, Tora Doza, even getting Tam up there, getting Jaeger up there, Kaz, all of them flying, bring Marcus flying in to help or something like that, and having a battle with the First Order in some way, shape, or form with you know, maybe the Finalizer or, you know, the First Order ties and, you know, some big thing like that. I could, you know, would just blow me out of my socks and really push it up to the A+. But just like you said, this had everything that's Star Wars-y, just like I said, and that puts it has all the components. It has some seriousness and it's fun, just like, you know, the movies that we've seen and so on and so forth. And so, very solid A. And you and I have alluded to there's still room for there to be an A+.
Oh, absolutely, there's still room for an A+. And he said something, and it just is. I thought it, but I hadn't said it. But you said it was very Star Wars-y. Who would have thought we would be watching an episode like this on a show like this and say how Star Wars-y it is, and there wasn't a lightsaber in the mix?
Right.
Yeah. But no, great episode. Great episode. So yeah, it was awesome. Great discussion on the Platform Classic. We definitely love your thoughts and opinions. And matter of fact, I have your thoughts and opinions right here. We got us, of course, as I posted on social media, we, of course, always want to hear your thoughts and opinions on the episodes. And of course, you can always, the easiest way is to, when you see the tweet, of course, just to stay right there in Twitter or Facebook and DM us. Or, of course, you can email us directly as well. Those options all are on the table. But we got some we got some messages, and we want to go ahead and share those with you. The first one is from Andy Billard. This one came through on Facebook. This is the first message we've gotten off of Facebook, so that was exciting. I had to do a double take when that notification came in. It was awesome. So Andy says, I think it was great that we finally got to see a race, and a kind of nice to, and kind of nice to see Jaeger outside the shop and in his element. I was also a huge fan of bringing in the Death Gang from The Force Awakens and discussing the race from Bloodline. Hopefully this show can start to bridge some of the novels and comics and add a little more insight to what is happening around the galaxy post Return of the Jedi. It seemed that Jaeger definitely earned Kaz's respect a little bit more now that the character has a little more multidimensional. It seems that Jaeger definitely earned Kaz's respect a little bit more now that the character is a little more multidimensional and is not just a grump.
Right. Very well said.
Well said, indeed. I definitely agree with that. Definitely, Kaz has got definitely a different opinion of Jaeger now than he did before, and I think that will reflect in episodes going forward. And definitely, as we discussed earlier, the ties into Bloodline and into, of course, The Force Awakens, as it starts spreading its wings and tying itself into other parts of the saga, whether it be the movies, the comics, the books. It's going to be awesome to see as it continues to grow and brings everything together.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. You know, I was mentioning I had an opportunity to read Andy's post, but you'd heard me say earlier, you know, about the different forms of media, and you said it too. We really enjoy seeing these things thread together very nicely, and Andy's saying the same thing. He likes seeing that.
Absolutely, yeah. Our next message came from Twitter from Cameron Ramos. Cameron said, "Hey fellas, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I finally had the chance to catch up on last week's and this week's episodes of Star Wars Resistance. I love the latest episode, and I have a couple of thoughts. When I found out that Jaeger's wife and child died, I assumed it was because of something that the Empire or First Order was behind. Finding out that their deaths were a result of Marcus's selfishness and need to win was a huge plot twist that I didn't see coming. Neither did we. It seems like he's changed his ways, and I hope that he shows back up again in the future episodes. I have mentioned it before, but the artwork in this show continues to amaze me each week. I love the ships that we saw in the Platform Classic, especially Jaeger's. Marcus's droid D-12 might also have been my favorite paint job that I've ever seen on an astromech. Lastly, I was so excited to see the Guavian Death Gang make an appearance in this episode. I'm all for anything that connects us back to the new trilogy, so it was really great to see them around the Colossus." Thank you, Cameron, for writing in. Man, you know, hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well. We did. Yeah, so many things. It did catch us. I mean, as you heard, it caught us off guard. I don't know. I would love to see Marcus back in a future episode. David, you?
Oh, definitely. You know, I kind of alluded to it there. It'd be kind of fun to see him come back and help all of the people on the Colossus, you know, kind of as a saying thanks to Jaeger and the other people there and what the Colossus meant to him in that race. Maybe to help at some point to go against the First Order. I'd love it. I again, here's Cameron, you know, mentioning what we talked about, this plot twist. None of us saw this coming. And but again, you know, props to Cameron for messaging in. We love his responses. Happy Thanksgiving to him. And keep writing in, buddy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our next email, or also came in via Twitter, was a direct message, is from a first-time writer. This is goes by the Twitter handle Soundwave Senpai. I apologize if I said that incorrectly. But he, Soundwave writes, "The platform classic has got to be my favorite episode so far. It was fun to have more racing in an episode, but as an adult, I really appreciate and respect how they handled Marcus and Jaeger's relationship. I expected Jaeger to fully forgive Marcus by the end of the episode, but the writing threw me a curveball. Jaeger didn't tell his brother that he completely forgave him, but made it clear that he was open to speaking with him again and working towards repairing the relationship. That was really well done, and I appreciate that. And it also passes on that on to the kids. And it also passes that on to the kids. You don't have to fully forgive someone for damage that they've done in the past, but in the end, you can still have a positive relationship with them. People change with time and experience, and we shouldn't let a bad decision label them forever. Well done, Resistance Riders." Well said.
Wow.
That was well said. Well said. I agree 100% with everything you wrote, my friend. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not much we can say. You said it perfectly.
Yeah, I was going to say, ditto what he said.
Exactly.
Soundwave Senpai. Yeah, yeah. He should forgive us, but thank you for writing in. It's interesting because you'd mentioned, I'm so glad, Aaron, you brought up the name of the writers. I didn't look at that, and I'm so glad you gave them props. And you think about it, when you have the good writing, you have the good episodes, and then you get responses like Andy's and Cameron's and Soundwave Senpai. It's... And of course, you and I, we've just been gushing over this thing, and for good reason. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the writers was the first thing I had to write down after I saw the episode, because I was in such awe of the episode when I watched it for the first time. I was like, it was just, I couldn't believe what I had just watched. And it was so well written and so perfect. And the twists and the plot and the and you expect, like he said, you expect like he expected, you expected Jaeger to, it's a kid show, you expect him to just to forgive him outright and everything be hunky dory. That's not how real life works. And they wrote real life into this by saying, you know what? No, I don't forgive you. We're not good, but we're gonna be. It's a process. They got to work on it. He's got to earn that trust back. But the bridge is already built. The bridge is being built between Jaeger and Marcus, and I fully expect to see it explored more in the future. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Me too. Right.
All right. So we got two more, and I bet you can guess who these guys who these are from.
Oh, jeez.
So first one, of course, reads as follows: Willard Tarkanis here. This was a fascinating episode, to say the least. This Marcus Speedstar strikes me as the kind of person who could be turned into a great ally for the Empire. I've already been in contact with Sonara-san, but now I will get in contact with Mr. Speedstar. He's had enough emotional issues and baggage that I will look to Lord Vader to exploit. Tarkanis out.
This guy's going full on recruiting everybody for the Empire, man. This guy's like, he's using Resistance to help the Empire.
Yeah, especially since Resistance is like how many years after the Empire?
Yeah, he's still holding on. He's still holding on here. He's got issues.
Well, Star Wars is about hope.
Willard Tarkanis in A New Hope. Yes. Will Huff Tarkin, Willard Tarkanis, A New Hope. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, yep, there you go. All right, the next one, of course, Corporal Flux here. I ended my last DM stating that the First Order was being shown more respect. I was looking forward to seeing Commander Pyre in this episode, but no. Lucasfilm and Disney decided to not have any First Order presence in this episode. The lack of respect will be dealt with harshly. Again, they will all be hearing from me.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was kind of expecting it too after the last one. I thought, you know, Commander Pyre said he was going to come there and deal with it personally. That maybe next episode, but we really know how to get, at least Disney and Lucasfilm know how to get Corporal Flux upset. Just show some disrespect to the First Order, or don't show, you know, don't show anybody. I get no respect. Yeah,
no respect. I tell you, no respect.
That's right. A little Rodney Dangerfield action, but he's pretty bent out of shape when his First Order minions don't get any airtime on Resistance. But anyways, it's always fun to hear from those two guys.
Absolutely, it definitely is. And thank you, everybody, for writing in. Andy, Soundwave, and Cameron, thank you all for writing in. Everybody else, write in as well. Take the opportunity. You can always send us direct messages on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @ResistReactions. Or, of course, if you're on Facebook, Resistance Reactions. Search us out there. Links will be in the show note. Side note as well, on our Twitter page, we have hit 100 followers. We hit that yesterday, and now we're up to 103 at the time of this recording. So thank you, everybody, for sharing our posts and bringing people in. Word of mouth is always the best thing that that attracts people in, and we thank you for that.
Ditto what Aaron said.
So it wouldn't be an episode of Resistance Reactions. We cannot end it without our two special features. We will go ahead and start with David's Creature Corner. It's Alien yes. Corner. Why do I keep saying Creature Corner?
I was thinking about this earlier before we started recording. I was thinking about aliens. I was thinking about creatures, and you know, there is a difference, but I'm kind of floating back and forth between both. And you know what? We're just having fun with it. So I think you and I on previous episodes have called it, you know, Creature Corner and Alien Corner, and it's just a whole bunch of fun. So listeners, just love us anyways, okay? Just love us. So in this one, like you played the clip at the beginning of the episode of Oplock and him yelling out loud, and everyone's startled in the repair shop there, Yeager's repair shop. It's kind of cool to see the background. Here's a new creature, and he is a mountain Nikto. Right, so Niku is, but he's apparently not one. He doesn't have the flaps that come up, and in the episode guide it says those flaps are used to convey expression when they're discussing things. So I thought that was really cool. You heard Niku in the, like I said, in the little clip you played, that Oplock speaks Krasek. I've never heard of that before, so there's a new language. Doesn't speak Basic like Niku does, so that was pretty cool. Also, a little side note that I thought was kind of like a cool creature detail is that apparently Niktos have more than one heart, because Niku said he would give, I guess, what, one of multiple hearts they have. You know, you give people a heart if they need it. And so it was so cute to see that. But I kind of thought, I got to mention that in the Creature Corner, that we didn't know this about Niktos, that they have more than one heart in there. Last little thing I was going to mention in the Creature Corner, because there's a lot. Every week we got something. I was looking at this, and hopefully our listeners watched these episodes a few times. The very beginning of this episode, we see a creature waving. It's this green guy. And in fact, I was looking back at Triple Dark, because I told the listeners last week I was going to go back and look and see if we could see a Nikto in a Stormtrooper outfit, just like we covered last week. But you see this green guy. You also see Orthog in that episode, the big purple guy, right? And just very briefly, we do see that Nikto. But it's interesting because it's almost the full Stormtrooper helmet on him, and I cannot tell that is a Nikto underneath there. So we didn't count that in that episode. It's just like Sonara San has on the helmet, but the only reason we knew she was a Miralan is because the episode guide told us. So last week I'd mentioned we had gotten two new creatures, one being a Nikto and one being a Weequay. And so we stay with that, okay? And then this week we get Oplok, a Mountain Nikto, so that takes us to 28. Now, we got three more here. Orthog, the big purple guy. Like you said, he's a Grimmatian, like off after Grimace on McDonald's. So we kind of know his species. You know, this is per Aaron, non-canon, but per Aaron. There's the one at the start. He's green. He's waving. I ask any of the listeners, just watch, and you'll see him in other episodes. He's green. He's waving, but they have not told us his species. And at the very end of this episode, I see a creature. And the best I could describe is that it looks like Beast from Beauty and the Beast. It's not. But, you know, take a look. Very beginning of the episode, very end of the episode, there's two more. So, literally, if we know what Orthog species is, as well as those other two, we would be up to 31 different creatures and species. And that's not even counting the woman that we talked about who is the spice dealer, you know, on the Colossus platform there.
Yeah.
You know, who gave spices to the kids from Tehar, the children from Tehar.
Yeah.
So a lot going on in every episode. And, of course, like I mentioned earlier, we got a little clip of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of them at least. So a lot of creatures in this episode. So so there you go. A lot there and a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of fun. So that's 28 identified and 31 with the potential. Unidentified.
Yes. Yep. So. Three more unidentified.
Very cool. Very cool. Well done. Well done. And of course, I have to follow that up with my favorite segment. Well, the whole thing is my favorite. The whole show is my favorite. So, my segment, Niku's saying of the episode. Here we go.
Yeager is going to be so happy.
Yeager happy, as in happy. That seems very unlike. Oh, I get it. You are proposing another joke. Am I correct, Kaz?
I'm going to have to isolate that laugh and just throw it in at random times throughout our shows from now on.
Well, that's why I love, Randy Therio, who did our intro and puts that, you know, I'm tingling all over, you know, and
yeah.
And that laugh would be great. I love how you're using the clips at different times, but just throwing in that completely awkward laugh is, that'd be fun.
Oh, yes. That was Niku's saying of the episode. So with that, we are going to go ahead and wrap things up here. Definitely, if you want to continue, like I said, the conversation with us online, I should say. If you want to continue the conversation with us online, of course, you can hit the show Twitter up, Resist Reactions there on Twitter, Resistance Reactions on Facebook. Email the show, resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. If you'd rather email and not engage on social media, that's up to you. I know some friends that do that, so definitely that option is available as well. Hit us up there. Always never hesitate to send us your thoughts and ideas and your opinions on not only the episodes, but on Resistance as a whole so far and how it's progressed. Because it is definitely on an upward trend at this point. If you want more Star Wars while you're waiting between episodes, check out the rest of the Coffee with Kenobi family of shows. Coffee with Kenobi, our flagship show, hosted by Dan Z. Of course, covers the latest in Star Trek. does not cover Star Trek, but it does cover the latest in Star Wars news, and has a lot of fun there. Hosted by Dan Z, which if you do talk to Dan Z, tell him Die Hard is a Christmas movie. He'll appreciate that. Also, of course, go ahead and check out Comics with Kenobi with Matt and Jeff. If you love comics, that's the place to go. If you don't love comics and you want to stay up to date on the canon material in the comics, check them out. They will fill you in, give you the latest reviews of the latest comic books, let you know what's coming out. And if you are like me, you will be so intrigued by what they talk about, you will begin buying comics to the displeasure of your wife.
Oh yes.
So
you're still married? Are you still married?
Last time I checked.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Okay. So, with all those comics you're getting.
So. Yeah, you know, that's why I buy digital, because she can't find them. So, no, I didn't say that. I'll have to edit that out. So,
I hope she doesn't listen to this. Oh, my God.
Fortunately, she's not a Star Wars fan, so I don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
So, definitely check out Comics with Kenobi. If you like the books and the Legends line of books, which is the old Expanded Universe, check out Legends Library with Randy Theriault and Luke Setters. Great reviews of those books. Very passionate about the novels, and they have great insight into those books. I personally haven't read a lot of those books, so listening to them has actually brought me up to speed with some of the stuff I've missed, and has made me want to go out and try to find some of those old books too.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, last but not least, we have Lattes with Leia. Of course, Lattes with Leia with Amy and Andrea. Great show, fangirl perspective. They have wonderful insights, a lot of fun that they have. Check them all out. They're at coffeewithkenobi.com, where you'll also find some of the best bloggers and stories around. David, if somebody wants to engage in Star Wars talk with you, how would they go about doing that?
Yes, I need people to tweet to me and tell me what those three character species are. Orthog, green guy at the beginning, beast at the end of this episode. People need to tweet me at David_Modders. Or email me at dmodders@coffeewithkenobi.com. And side note, I just finished the most recent Lattes with Leia, and Dr. Andrea Letamendi and Amy do an incredible job covering the effects of toxicity in fandom. Excellent, excellent. And Dr. Andrea Letamendi goes over a real neat study about it, and goes over that with Amy. It's really cool. They, like you said, they do a great job, and I'd recommend that to all Star Wars fans.
Excellent. Definitely check them all out. Great shows. If you want to continue the Star Wars conversation with me, of course, the easiest way to do that is Twitter. My personal Twitter is at TAHarris121079. And, of course, you can always email me if you prefer that, aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. So with that, we will wrap up this episode. David, it's been a great night. Thank you, my friend, for joining me.
As always, what an incredible episode to cover. So fun. What a privilege to do it, buddy.
Absolutely. Definitely. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week when we review the episode Secrets and Holograms. So can't wait to see that one. But till then, remember, this is the Resistance Podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.